Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Mallory, and this is my Swing Trading the Stock Market podcast. I'm here to teach you how to trade in a complex, ever-changing world of finance. Learn what it means to trade profitably and consistently, managing risk, avoiding the pitfalls of trading, and most importantly, to let those winners run wild. You can succeed at the stock market, and I'm ready to show you how. Hey, everybody, this is Ryan Mallory with Swing Trading the Stock Market. In today's episode, we are going to talk about trading big movers in the stock market, stocks that are, and we're seeing a ton of them today. We're seeing them with NVIDIA, with AMD, with SMCI, pretty much all your semiconductor stocks. They are just rocketing higher. Even stocks or semis like MU, Micron, they're moving like crazy. You got Broadcom, usually a really quiet semiconductor stock, going through the roof. So that's what we're going to talk about. How do you trade these big movers? When you're up a ton on these stocks, what do you do? And today's email is the basis for this question. This comes from a guy, we'll call him Jeremiah at his request. He writes, "Good morning. I have been listening to you for a few years now and have learned a plethora of information from you. I even got into scotch and bourbon drinking after hearing you tasting various ones, so thanks for elevating me to gentleman status." Wow. That might be one of the best compliments I've ever been given, helping somebody be elevated to gentleman status. He goes on to write, he says, "I am here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and moved back here after spending 13 years in the Navy. Thank you for your service, sir. I was trying to think of a good old New Mexican-type redneck name and thought of my childhood friends, one named Jeremiah. I figured that would be a great start, hence why we're calling this guy Jeremiah. Here's a little background on my trading history. When we started receiving our stimulus checks and seeing the nosedive in the stock market, I had decided to put that into a TD Ameritrade account and see what I could turn that into. I made some pretty big gains and was starting to be pretty confident in my trading and started trading on margin. At one point, I was up about $12,000, but was heavily vested in MSTR. I didn't practice a good stop loss, and it took a big dive, and I kept having the hope that it would go back up, but it never did, and then I got hit with a margin call, and well, I blew up my account. So here we are again, and I got into MSTR again at 488, and as of today, it's sitting at $1,300. I have seen these big moves like NVIDIA, SMCI, MSTR. So what I'm struggling with is how to set up a stop loss on these big movers that can swing about $50 to $100 so quickly. Second, I am trying to figure out how to appropriately take gains. I have a feeling that a little Ryan is sitting on my shoulder saying, take your profit and don't sit on these highly volatile stocks. Thanks again for all your great content, and I look forward to listening to you for lots of time to come. Fair winds and following seas. Sincerely, Jeremiah." Wow. I like the background story there. A lot of you can relate to that background story. That's why I like hearing the stories that you guys have, because the more stories and background that I have from you guys, the more the listeners are able to relate, because so many of you guys got started during the COVID shutdowns. I mean, tons of people did, right? I mean, there were a huge influx of new traders came into the market during that time. And there was a lot of traders that started listening to my podcast shortly thereafter because of how many people were blowing up their accounts here like Jeremiah, and decided, man, I need to really find something that's going to help me out. So again, trading big movers, they're very difficult. They're some of the hardest stocks to trade because you're sitting on so much profit. And like anybody, you don't want to lose that profit. You don't want to be up like 100% and then all of a sudden take a 20% loss on a trade. Nobody wants that. So they can be very difficult because there's a lot of emotions there. It's like, okay, it's up 100%, but let's say it doesn't go up another 1,000%. So do I really want to take my profits now and then be regretting it down the road that I did? So yes, like what a lot of people would say, it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to be able to say, man, I've made a lot of money on this stock. I'm struggling to know what to do. If you take your money, you're securing the gains and you're walking away with a big check, but you may be forfeiting the potential to make a lot more gains. So good problems to have, but they're very difficult problems to manage. And right now, as he said, and as I already mentioned, there's tons of stocks going through the roof. I mean, in parabolic fashion, like what we've seen with SMCI, where it was trading at, you know, $84, $85 just a year ago. And now it's trading at $1,200. That's some wild stuff. And I think what might be even crazier is nobody's blinking an eye at it. There's like, oh, yeah, let's go initiate a buy. The SMCI actually had someone, and I don't even remember what it was. It was like a broker I never heard of, initiate coverage on the stock after it was already trading like over $1,000 and said, oh, it's a buy. $1,350 is our price target. Now, the thing about these firms, they're not as smart as you actually think that they are. Because what they do is they do follow a lot of the hype. So they'll see something like SMCI moving up and they'll initiate coverage or whatever. And they'll put their target out there. If it's trading at 100, they'll say, oh, price target of 150. It hits 150 or 200. Then they'll raise it up to 200. And they'll say, oh, we've been following this stock and we had a price target for 1300. And because they'll just keep moving the price target a little bit higher. If it goes down, then they'll lower the price target or whatever. And so people get worked up about it. All they're doing is a reaction to what it's already done. That's what Wall Street analysts are doing. You think anybody's going to come out right now and say, yeah, we don't like NVIDIA. We think NVIDIA is garbage. No, every one of them is probably saying they love NVIDIA. I haven't checked it, but I can tell you, probably every one of them like it because they look stupid if they said otherwise. Now, let's say NVIDIA starts falling apart and people who buy or use their AI chips, their computers or their servers are blowing up. Yeah, then all of a sudden, the stock's going to go down and all the analysts are going to be saying, yeah, we've lowered our price target. Yeah, we see this going much lower. It's a reaction to what's already happened. That's what analysts are. So yeah, nobody's like really blinking an eye at what's going on right now. I think it's wild. I think it's crazy. It feels very reminiscent of what happened during the dot-com bubble. And one of the things that I'm seeing with all these big movers and the big move too, that the stock market's made over 1,000 points on the S&P since September, is that I've never seen so many articles out there trying to tell us that it's not a stock market bubble. I actually think that's one of the best indicators that it is a stock market bubble is when everybody's telling you that it's not a stock market bubble. And then they'll also try to, you know, play 3D chess with you by saying, it's not a stock market bubble because everyone's saying it's a stock market bubble. I got to be honest, I'm not seeing a ton of people that are calling it a stock market bubble. I just see a lot of people saying that it's not a small stock market bubble because a lot of people are saying it is a stock market bubble. I just think they're making it up. Yes, there's articles out there, but when you look at the ratio of people trying to say it's not a stock market bubble, it far outpaces the number of people that are saying it is a stock market bubble. So here we are. Stocks that are looking like bubbles, stocks that are trading parabolic like NVIDIA, SMCI, AMD. One of the things you want to remember, and you can go back and see this kind of stuff back in 2022 with NVIDIA, you can see it throughout history of these stocks, is that when there's big runs to the upside, there's usually a big mean reversion. What is a mean reversion? It's where there's a pullback to like an average price over a set specific time. So with NVIDIA, it would make sense with as much as it's been up, it's up over 100% at one point, just in the first 2+ months of this year, that there's going to be some kind of mean reversion. It's going to pull back some. And you should expect that. It goes back to that saying about, you know, fighting the bully in the schoolyard, the real big guy, they'll say, oh, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Well, that's how it works with the stocks too. The bigger they are in terms of the bigger the rally, the harder they pull back. Stocks with that kind of volatility, when the selling starts to happen, when they're up that much, people are going to be much more emotional. That's why I was trying to say in the beginning of this podcast episode that there's a lot more emotion when you're sitting on a lot of profits. And so when people are up 100% or 200% on a stock like we've seen of late with NVIDIA, when that thing starts to pull back some, there's a good chance that you're going to see some people sell out en masse. And when they do that, they're going to create a hard push to the downside. And many traders are going to get roasted because what happens is when these stocks eventually top out, there's a few selling to a lot. And so the few are the ones that have made the big money. They have big positions because of how much it's gone up. So when they start taking profits and the stock starts to move lower, you're going to have all those people who say, hey, it's pulled back 5 or 10% here. This is a great time to buy into it. I'm going to start buying it because this is a generational pullback in their minds. And then when it starts to, These few people with big positions are selling to a lot of individuals to be able to absorb those big positions. And so many traders will get stuck at the top. Even just this past Friday, when I was looking at the call premiums, NVIDIA at one point pulled back 10% from its highs of the day. That's what I mean by, you know, the harder they rally, the harder they fall. At some point, they will fall pretty hard. And NVIDIA just had a 10% swing in one day to the downside. Is it still up a ton? Yeah, but there was $2.4 billion of call premiums purchased that day as it was falling. For some perspective on that, the day after its earnings, it reports in the afternoon, so the next day when it gaps way up, there was $1.6 billion of call premiums. That means at this particular moment where it started to pull back, there was 50% more in call premiums on Friday than there was the day following their earnings report. That is wild. And that means there's a lot of people getting stuck up there and their premiums are going to crap. And eventually they're going to panic and they're going to sell. Not a ton of people listen to this podcast relative to how many people were trading. I wish more people did. I think a lot of people could learn some valuable lessons. But what that means is that there's a lot of people who don't care about position sizing. They see NVIDIA pull back and, you know, 10%. They're not looking, okay, if I'm going to play this, I'm going to put, you know, a small portion of my portfolio into this and be cognizant of the fact that these premiums could go to zero overnight. Nope. What they're going to do is they're going to put everything into it. They're going to YOLO into it. And then all of a sudden, they're completely maxed out. Maybe they're even into margin. Then it starts to pull against them and they lose it all. And in the case here of Jeremiah, you get margin called. So when you get these big moves to the upside, one of the most important things to do is have a line in the sand. If you said to yourself, at this point, I will not hold it under any circumstance, that's your line in the sand. That's your point where you're saying, okay, I'm up 1,000. Let's go extreme here. Let's say you're up 1,000% on the stock. Maybe you say to yourself, okay, if it pulls back 20%, I'm going to go ahead and jump out of this trade. That's my line in the sand. And I'm trying to keep it simple just from a mathematical standpoint. I'm not saying that's where your line in the sand should be. But the other thing too is that you have to take some profits along the way. There's nothing wrong with it. So for instance, and I've brought this trade up a few times, but I think I brought it up a few times just recently, but I have an AMD trade. And this isn't the only long-term investment I have, but I think it's very relevant to what we're seeing like with semis because I don't have a ton of semi plays. I have like Intel and I have AMD. I bought AMD back last year and I think my average buy-in price was 59. Didn't even get a full position. But the amount that it ran, it was essentially like, you know, rallying into a full position. I bought it at 59. Now it's trading at like 210, 220. I don't know how high this one can go. So I sold half originally and then I sold another, I think it was like a sixth or so to give me essentially like a third of a position. And then even just recently, I'm just like, there's times where I'm just like selling. It's trading at like 220 at one point. And perhaps it goes to $300 or $400 or $500. I don't know. Nobody does. But if I bought in at $59 and it's trading at 220, it'd be crazy not to take some profits along the way. And that's what I've been doing. Sometimes it's only like a share that I'm selling, a $200 share. But I'm just trying to make sure I'm taking at least some advantage of these price moves. I don't have a big position left in it. But I still want to be able to maximize some of the opportunities that the stock keeps affording me. So I think this past week, yeah, it reached 210, but I think one of my exit prices might have been like either 208 or 210, but it was like a price that I had to take advantage of that. So even if it wasn't much, I took something. And most of my gains have been booked on this trade. It's been a phenomenal, I shouldn't even call it a trade. It was an investment originally. I was hoping to hold it for ages, honestly. But also when I got into it, I wasn't really expecting a parabolic, meteoric rise in AMD that would take it, you know, in over just a little over a year from 59 to over 200. But with AMD, I'm in other trades too, like Shopify. Believe it or not, I have a position in Robinhood, HOOD. I mean, I kind of hate the platform and everything. I think they kind of goad traders into making stupid trades at times. And I think it's almost too convenient to make trades on. It's like, it kind of gets the adrenaline pumping. And I think there used to be a time where there was like confetti falling, you know, on the screen. But I started buying it and it's gone through the roof as well. I mean, so I have stocks like Hood and I have stocks like AMD. I have some dividend stocks like LYB. But a lot of these trades or investments, I don't know how high they're eventually going to go, but I'm going to take profits along the way. Because when it does come back one day, you're going to be glad that you took profits along the way. Gosh, that could be a saying or a rhyme. Something like, when I look back one day, I'll be glad I took profits along the way. Huh. In, with any investment and trade, we shouldn't look at this one trade defining our lives, but it can help change it for the better. And it, maybe it only changes it in small increments, but we shouldn't make this trade like be life defining. Like, this is what's going to make the difference in my life. It can help improve it. It can help change it because it made you a lot of gains, but it shouldn't be life defining. And I think a lot of times we go into these trades thinking, this is the only trade that's ever going to make it a difference in my life. No, if you're going to be good at this, there better be a lot of long-term investments, a lot of trades that are good for you. Because if we're putting it all on one trade, essentially it's like going to a casino table and put it in all on red or black. Man, if it doesn't work out, you're going to be a lot worse off. I don't want my losers to define me, and I want my winners to incrementally improve things, because there will be more opportunities. There were opportunities in 2022. There are opportunities in 2020, and there'll be opportunities down the road. But you can't put all of your hope and all of your trust in this one stock, because stocks will let you down. You give it enough time, they will disappoint you. Look at what a lot of your Apple investors are dealing with here so far in 2024. They're way down on the year. Market's way up. It's disappointing them. When was the last time Apple disappointed investors? It's been a long time. But remember, there'll be more opportunities down the road. And if you get stopped out too early, or you take profits too early, so be it. You still made a good return on it. And with Jeremiah's situation here, he traded MSTR back in COVID days, and he was up a ton. And then he blew up his account with that stock. And now he's back into the stock at 488. And it's now sitting at 1,300, and he's having the same questions that he had back when he blew his account up in 2020. Will your exits ever be perfect in a trade? No. There'll be people out there on Twitter that'll tell you, I got out on the top. Man, nobody gets out perfectly on a consistent basis. You may, you know, obviously there has to be somebody that sells at a very market top, because there's always a trade at the top, right? But those are like lottery tickets. Those are like freak chances. Most of the time, you're going to get out somewhere in the middle. And so if you get stopped out too early, you get, let's say, for instance, in this MSTR trade, it's trading at 1,300 around, and you get stopped out on it, and then it goes right back up. Okay. I mean, stocks are going to go up or down regardless if you're in the trade or not. It doesn't care that you're in it. It doesn't care when you get out of it. It's going to keep doing its thing. And it may be that it keeps going higher, or it may be that it reverses and keeps going lower. But the thing that you got to remember is that there will always be another trade, another investment. And so you want to make sure that what happened to you back in 2020 with MSTR doesn't happen again, because you did the same thing once again. You know, you take GME from early 2021, and you know, you have a stock that's going from like $4 all the way up to like over $120. And there's people that probably got in at like maybe $10 or $15, and then they got out at $80. And then they watched it go from $80 up to $100. And 20. At the time, they were probably extremely, extremely upset. They were mad. Do you think they're really that mad today, looking back? They're probably going around and bragging to people. It's like, yeah, I got in at 15, rode it up to 80. Life's good. Also, before I forget, you know what else is good? SwingTradingTheStockMarket.com. Yes, this is a really cool service. It has a Discord feature to it. You're going to get all of my stock market research here by going to SwingTradingTheStockMarket.com. With it, you're going to get my daily watch lists, watch list reviews that I do later in the afternoon, plus my weekly bullish and bearish lists. Plus, you're going to get big tech updates on like Meta, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, Microsoft, Tesla. Did I say Nvidia? I think I did. You're also going to get updates on the overall market. So it's a really cool service. It supports this podcast in the process. So I really do appreciate you guys checking that out. But back to GME. Yeah, the dude that bought at 15 and sold at 80, he thinks he's a legend right now, probably, and I don't blame him. He got the meat and potatoes of that trade. He didn't stay for dessert. He doesn't have to. He got filled on the meat and potatoes. He didn't come for the appetizers by trying to get in as low as he could and waiting it out for months. No, he got in at 15. It rode up to 80. He did good. He more than 4X'd his trade. But there's also people out there that got in, let's say they got in at $20. And they wrote it up to 120, and they watched it come all the way back down again to $10. And then it bounces all the way back up again to over 80, and they still don't take any profits. And then it comes back down to below 40, and then it pops back up again to 90 almost, and they still don't take profits. And now they're sitting at $14.65 with a 25% loss on their hands so far. You don't want that to be the case. You want to be the guy that, yeah, he didn't get out at the top. He didn't get out at 120, but he rode from 15 to 80 and he made a massive amount on his trade. That's what you want to be. And when I'm using stops on these vertical plays, oftentimes it's very difficult to find a key support level when it's going straight up. You look at NVIDIA right now, there's not a lot of support underneath it. But one of the things that I do watch is I start watching a stock's meteoric rise in relation to like a 5-day or a 10-day moving average, a very quick moving average. And oftentimes they will follow a particular moving average. Sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 10, it might be even the 20. And I'll start watching how does it trade relative to that moving average on a closing basis. And if it trades below it, then I'll say, okay, that's my exit to get completely out of the trade. Or maybe you can make it a multi-tier one. If it breaks and closes below the 5, I'll take a third off. If it breaks and closes below the 10-day moving average, I'll take another third off. And it closes below the 20-day moving average, I'll take another third off. Does that work with every trade? No, but I'm trying to give you some ideas. I'm trying to give you some help. Oftentimes, if that doesn't work, then there's usually like a key support level that you can follow and say, that's my red line in the sand. If it closes below it, then I'm out. So in summary, keep in mind that trading is more than just one trade. You don't need one trade to define your life, for better or for worse. You definitely don't want it to be for worse. But you don't need to be gunning for stocks or trades that are going to define your life and its meaning. You really want just trades to be another notch in your belt, another investment that went really well and that you managed the risk on. Maybe you don't get out at the top. Maybe you get out somewhere, you know, two-thirds up. Still a good trade, especially 10 years from now, you'll probably be glad. So with that being said, make sure to leave me a 5-star review on whatever platform that you're listening to me on. I love those. I'd love to hear from you guys. Also, check out swingtradingthestockmarket.com and send me your questions, ryan@shareplanner.com. I do read them all. I do try to make episodes out of almost every single one of them. So keep doing that. My next podcast episode will be number 400. Still thinking about what I want to do with that. Maybe I'll have a special bourbon that I pull out for that. I don't know. Go back to the old days of when I was doing some of those bourbon reviews and do one on a good one here. So make sure to be around for that. Thank you guys. God bless. Thanks for listening to my podcast, Swing Trading the Stock Market. I'd like to encourage you to join me in the Share Planner Trading Block, where I navigate the stock market each day with traders from around the world. With your membership, you will get a 7-day trial and access to my trading room, including alerts via text, email, and WhatsApp. So go ahead, sign up by going to shareplanner.com/tradingblock. That's www.shareplanner.com/tradingblock. And follow me on SharePlanner's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where I provide unique market and trading information every day. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me at ryan@shareplanner.com. All the best to you, and I look forward to trading with you soon.